police officer stopped the car, walked up to the driver's window and asked, "How long have you been driving with your taillight burnt out?" Driver jumped out, rushed to the back of his car, and let out a loud moan. The policeman was so taken by how upset the driver was that he decided he would go easy on him and said, "Come on now, you don't have to take it so hard. It's not that serious. In fact, I'll only give you a warning, not a ticket." "It isn't serious?" cried the driver. "What happened to my boat and trailer?" Whether we like it or not, life is full of losses. It's sobering to think that nothing in our lives is permanent. We will all go through seasons of tragedy, seasons of grief, seasons of loss, and when adversity comes our way and takes away something important in our lives, we feel that loss. We can lose our finances, jobs, our health, our marriages, our relationship, and yes, we will even experience the death of a loved one. Now, I don't want this message to be a Debbie Downer, and even though there's loss all around us, you may be in a good place right now, and that's wonderful. I want today's message to be precautionary. For the next or to bring comfort and possibly help to somebody who is currently dealing with loss. Let me read today's scripture. You'll find it in Ecclesiastes 8:14-17. "There's something else meaningless that occurs on earth. The righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked who get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is meaningless. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of the life God has given them under the sun." When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe the labor that is done on earth, people getting no sleep day or night, then I saw all that God has done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all their efforts to search it out, no one can discover its meaning. Even if the wise claim they know, they cannot comprehend it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to have today. Thank you for this difficult subject. This is not a popular subject to deal with, Lord. And I'm sure many of us feel that because we are part of your family, we should be immune to loss. But Lord, we know that's not the case. Through your word today, Lord, we ask for wisdom and comfort to guide us as we journey through whatever season we are in. Lord, I ask that you open our hearts and our ears to hear what you have to tell us today through this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, when I came across this passage, I was torn. There's still no clear date. Wait, it might be the monitor that's too loud. There's no clear date as to when this book was written, but the more conservative scholars will say it's about 3,000 years old. As to who wrote it, again, no clear indication, but the most popular position is that it was written by King Solomon. To be quite honest, it really doesn't matter. What matters is, when I read the passage, I noticed that it could have been written in yesterday's paper. The second thing I noticed, that a guy could do a whole series on four short verses. For example, message one, "The rich get richer, the good die young." There is something else meaningless that occurs righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked who get what the righteous deserve. This, too, I say, is meaningless. Message two. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany them in their toil. We hear the saying a lot. The only problem is when it's quoted, typically the second part is left off, the part where we're supposed to be happy with our work. Message three, all the days of our life, God has given them under the sun. This one statement alone is so powerful. When going through a season of grief, typically we need to put blame on somebody, and that somebody will often be ourselves when a loved one passes. But when I read this passage and many others like it in the Bible, there's nobody to blame, no matter what the circumstance. God has set our number of days. Message five. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe the labors that is done on earth, people getting no sleep day or night, then I saw all that God has done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite their efforts to search it out, four principles or steps on how to recover from life's losses. Number one, release your grief. Some people will think that it shows weak, shows somehow weak or shameful or even less Christian-like to grieve over a loss. That feeling sad or crying or being depressed would be an evidence of a lack of faith. Instead, we try to stuff our emotion. When people ask, we say things like, I'm doing fine, or I'm good. We try and put up a calm, cool front, all the while deep down inside we are burning with anger, grief, and resentment. That's not healthy. God is not expecting us to believe in the myth that God wants us to always walk around with a smile on our face saying, praise the Lord. There are all kinds of examples in the Bible where this is not the case. Matthew 5:4 tells us, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You notice how it says, you will mourn before being comforted? John 11:33-35. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. No, we need to be okay with emotion, no matter the size of the loss. So how do I deal with those emotions? The answer may sound too simple, but here it is. Give them to God. Tell him, God, I'm hurting. God, I can't take it anymore. God, I'm ready to give up. The Psalms is a good place to spend time in. Psalm 62:8, for example, says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Another example would be Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You need to release your pain and your heart to God. Hurt feelings that are simply pushed down will only fester, and then, when you least expect it, and over the smallest things, your emotions will explode and make things much worse. The one thing that's important to remember here is that there is no right or wrong amount of time for mourning. It could be hours, it could be months, and in some cases, it could be years. But during this season, do not stop releasing that pain, that hurt, to God. The second principle is receiving from others, and I am so bad at this. I'm quick to give, but receiving, that's a whole different story. But what a bad attitude this is. Because of my not wanting to receive, I take away somebody else's blessing. In fact, it goes against a biblical principle. Listen to Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. This principle is so unnatural for most of us. When something bad happens, we typically want to find a corner, build a wall around ourselves. But that is so the opposite of what is healthy or what we need. During our time of loss, we lose focus. We lose sight of the big picture. We need the support of others, family, trusted friends, and even professionals in some cases to regain our perspective, to see the big picture. I believe this is one of the reasons God created the church family, a place where like people will pray for you, walk with you, challenge you, grieve, and rejoice with you. If you're here today and don't have a home church, this is a pretty good one. Get involved. to provide some comfort. I hate to say it, but I must. Social media will not provide the level of support, of comfort we need when we're experiencing loss. Join the family. The third principle, and it's about to get real here. The first two you kind of get get away on your own, but this one, unless you plan on never seeing anybody, it's almost impossible to hide. Refuse to be bitter. Yep. Even that's in the Bible. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile." We cannot be bitter and joyful at the same time. When we have bitterness in our hearts, joy is sure to leave. Bitterness and joy just can't live in the same house. It's our choice. Am I going to be bitter or better? We recently had to lay off a people at work. And I can tell you, those who left with the attitude that they would be better of it are already working. On the other hand, those who left with life is over attitude are not moving forward at all. In fact, I'd say some are even falling behind more and more each day. We used to do a lot of volunteer work at the Salvation Army, and I remember as if it was yesterday, speaking to an engineer who was there getting a free meal because he hadn't worked in 10 or 15 years. When I asked him why he hadn't worked, he told me that he and his brother had had a fight because his brother had taken something from him, sold it, and kept the money. It made him so mad and so bitter that it preoccupies his mind all the time. In fact, he was even more bitter at his brother when his brother passed away because now he wouldn't be able to make him pay for it. This was 15 years ago. It was sad to see this brilliant man just throw away his life because he was so bitter. So how do we avoid being bitter over a loss? Well, I can think of two things. The first thing, accept what can't be changed. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12, "I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether we are fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." Here's a little sidebar. Don't you find it interesting that Paul uses the word want instead of need? I would suggest that most of us using a similar line would use the word need. I also think that most of our needs today are really wants. In my day-to-day life, I've come across a lot of people who have a misconception. They seem to think that when something bad happens, faith is ignoring and pretending like what's happened is really not that bad. That's not faith. Faith is not denying reality. Faith is refusing to be discouraged in the face of reality. It's not pretending we don't have a problem. It's refusing to be discouraged in spite the problem. As we get older, one of the indicators of our emotional maturity is when we begin to realize that most of life is beyond our control. Sometimes the only way to manage an unmanageable situation is by accepting it. When we lose somebody we love, when we walk away from the grave, all the wishing, hoping, and praying this one I can personally speak to. It wasn't until about 2 weeks ago, so 2.5 years, that I finally heard God speak to my heart and say, time to move from 2016 to 2019. I had finally accepted that Keely wasn't coming back. Despite all the counseling and the group therapy, it wasn't until God spoke to my heart and I accepted the reality that I'm able to start down the road of peace. Interesting tidbit here again is that came to me on Tuesday, 2 weeks ago. On that Friday, Pastor Stephen asked me if I could preach this week. Coincidence? Don't think so. The second thing we need to do is avoid being bitter. To avoid being bitter is look at what's left rather than what's lost. Again, I look at the Apostle Paul, a man who suffered much hardship and many losses. He wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Wow. This is a tough one. Am I saying be thankful for the loss? No, that would be cruel. What I'm saying is be thankful for what's left. The remedy for depression is gratitude. Look at what's left, not what's lost. Make a list. Put down all the things you have left and are thankful for. Try to list 10,000 reasons. Your kids, your grandkids, health, friends, a church family, brothers, sisters, fresh air, mountains, green grass, rain. I think you get the point. As your list grows, you will start seeing your pain subside. Remember, you can't be grateful and depressed at the same time. The final principle for recovering from our loss is we need to remember what's important in our time of loss. Loss has a way of putting everything into perspective. They help clarify our values. They help set our priorities. In Luke chapter 12, verses 15, we read, "Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions." The greatest things in life aren't things. What matters most are our relationships with people. 1 Timothy 6:7 says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it." It's said that we can take nothing to heaven with us. I happen to disagree with that statement. There is one thing we can bring to heaven: people. There is nothing more helpful in our time of loss than to be like Jesus, to love our neighbors, to be Jesus' hands, feet, eyes, and ears in our community or at work. Our reaction to the loss shows those around us the love and grace of God. We need to build our lives on something that can never be taken away. There is no job security. Any one of us can get sick at any minute. Is it marriage? How about beauty? Or our bank account? None of those really matter. There's only one thing that the world, life, can't take away from us. That's our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In all our losses, no matter how small or big, we need to remember one thing. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today's message. Thank you for your here are dealing with loss. Each one of those losses are different and affect us differently. I ask for your wisdom, your peace, your grace, that we may be a reflection of your love to those around us. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I figured out what's wrong. No. Will you stand for our closing song? Song just showed we have plenty to be thankful for. Yes, loss is inevitable, but during that season, turn away from bitterness and remember that all that you have, and be thankful for the people around you. Finally, believe. Believe in the Creator of all things through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let me just send you off with a little prayer that was written back in early 1930s and was first published in 1951 by an American theologian named Reinhold Niebuhr. God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, courage to change